He thought about that carefully. He was the consecrated Archbishop of Coruscant, as far as the Church of Carus was concerned. Which, of course, made him an utterly damned apostate heretic where the Church of God Awaiting was concerned. After what had happened to Araik Dinis, as Ottimson had just reminded him, there was no doubt in his mind what would happen if he or Ottimson or Machenroe ever fell into the hands of the Inquisition. That was a thought fit to wake a man wrapped in the cold sweat of nightmares, and it had on more than one occasion. In fact, it had awakened him often, making him wonder what in the world, what in God's name, he'd thought he was doing when he accepted his present office. And now this. As Archbishop, he was Ottimson's ecclesiastic superior. Of course, Ottimson wasn't assigned to his archbishopric, so he'd properly come under Gerling's orders only when those orders did not, in any way, conflict with instructions he'd already received from Michael Stainer. Still, in this princedom, in this archbishopric and this office, Ottimson could neither give Gerling orders nor pass judgment upon him. All he could do was report back to Stainer, who was thousands of miles away in Chisholm, assuming he'd met his planned travel schedule, or even farther away than that, in Emerald, or in transit between Erastor and Chiraeth, if his schedule had slipped. Yet Ottimson was Stainer's personal representative. He was here specifically to smooth the way, prepare the ground for Stainer's first pastoral visit to Coruscant. Despite everything, Gerling had expected a far more overtly political representative, especially given Ottimson's hierarchical pedigree. But what he'd gotten raised almost as many questions in his own mind, questions about himself, as they'd answered about Gerald Ottimson. "My lord," he said finally, "I'm honored by the honesty with which you've described your own feelings and beliefs, and I'll be honest and say it had never occurred to me that you might have sustained that degree of genuine spiritual regeneration." He raised one hand, waving it gently above his desk. "I don't mean to imply that I believed you'd accepted your present office solely out of some sort of cynical ambition, trying to make the best deal that you could out of the situation which had come completely apart for you in Carus. But I must confess I'd done you a grave disservice and assumed that was much of what had happened. Now, after what you've just said, I find myself in a bit of a quandary."
"A quandary, Your Eminence?" Ottimson arched one eyebrow and Gerling snorted.
"Honesty deserves honesty, my lord, especially between men who both claim to be servants of God," he said.
"Your Eminence, I doubt very much that you could, in honesty, tell me anything that would come as a tremendous surprise," Ottimson said dryly. "For example, I would be surprised, enormously surprised, to discover that you had accepted your present archbishopric solely out of a sense of deep loyalty and commitment to the Empire of Carus."
"Well," Gerling's voice was even drier than Ottimson's had been, "I believe I can safely set your mind to rest upon that point. However," he leaned forward slightly, and his expression became far more serious, even somber, "I must admit that despite my very best efforts, I felt more than one mental reservation when I took the vows of my new office."
Ottimson cocked his head to one side, and Gerling glanced quickly at Machenroe. This wasn't something he'd admitted to the Bishop of Manchir, yet he saw only calm interest in the other man's eyes before he looked back at Ottimson.
"First, I would never have accepted this office under any circumstances if I hadn't agreed Mother Church, or the vicarate at least, has become hopelessly corrupt. And when I say hopelessly, that's exactly the word I meant to use. If I'd believed for one moment that someone like Zomson Trenair might demand reform, or that someone like Jaspar Clinton would have permitted it if he had,
I would have refused the archbishopric outright and immediately. But saying I believe Mother Church has been mortally wounded by her own vicars isn't the same thing as saying I believe the Church of Caris must automatically be correct. Nor does it mean I'm somehow magically free of any suspicion that the Church of Caris has been co-opted by the Empire of Caris. Mother Church may have fallen into evil, but she was never intended to be the servant of secular political ambitions, and I won't willingly serve any church which is no more than a political tool. He grimaced. The spiritual rot in Zion is itself the result of the perversion of religion in pursuit of power, and I'm not prepared simply to substitute perversion in the name of the power of princes for perversion in the name of the power of prelates.